Good morning. Greet each one in Christ's name this morning. Glad that you're here. This morning we have a visiting minister with us. Brother Kendall is in Ohio. Vanson is in Elkhart. And Lyle was supposed to be in Ohio. And so we've asked David Raber from the Clay Street congregation to come and bring the message this morning. So we're grateful that he was willing to do that. And so this morning, as we prepare to worship, our hearts are open to hearing what God has for us. We invite David to come up and we'll pray and allow him to speak what the Lord has laid on his heart. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful this morning for the opportunity to enter your house and to meet you here, that you meet us here in this sanctuary. We ask, Lord, that you would use Brother David to speak the word that you have for us this morning. And would we be willing listeners, but not only listeners, but that our hearts would be willing to do the things that you speak to us. Would you receive all the glory and honor today in Jesus' name? Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. I want to welcome each of you into the presence of God and his people. I was reminded this morning by the singing of the songs that perhaps a little glimpse of what heaven will be someday. Plans have changed, haven't they? As you all had your schedule, Brother Lyle was supposed to be somewhere in an ordination to further the kingdom of the preaching, the work of preaching the gospel. Plans have changed, and yet we're here. The Lord has not returned yet for everyone that's sitting here this morning and able to hear and to listen. I will not be speaking to you new words, this will not be a new message for you. This will be something that I know that the ministry here has been faithful in preaching about, and that is the Word of God. And perhaps reminding you that in the plans that God has for you, there is that invitation. There is that invitation. Today, the title of the message is, There is Going to Be a Wedding. There's going to be a wedding. It won't be a wedding that you all think of when you think of a wedding. I know some of your church people here, I know. I don't know all of them. I know Brents have just recently enjoyed a wedding. And I don't want to take anything from that, but there is a wedding that is coming. But this will be a different wedding. There's going to be a wedding. And there's been an invitation that has been given several thousand years ago. Do you have a copy of that invitation? Yes, you do. You do. You have a copy of that invitation. Today's invitation will be no different than what you've been reading. Some of you for a very, very long time. I see Larry. I don't know if he's the oldest in this congregation. I know him from a little bit of work that I've done with him over the years. But I think Larry's probably been reading the gospel for a long time. And he's been looking, and his wife as well, and many others, Joni. I don't know, I know some of them. I know Lyle. Some of the others I don't have names for, John. But it doesn't matter. You've been listening, and you've been reading the gospel message, and it's not new to you. But it's refreshing. It can be refreshing. And I hope that would be the way you find it again today. My desire would be to not tell you anything that you don't already know. More so just to remind you. Now, if our electronics will work with us today, I'm not a computer fanatic, so if my slides look a little plain, that's who I am. I'm not fancy at all. But will you turn with me to Matthew 22? want to read the parable there of the wedding. And I also have it on, I'll be reading it from what I have on the slide, which is, might be a different translation than you have in front of you, but I think you'll be able to follow along. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business. And while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent troops and destroyed those murderers." I've got to keep up with my slides here. "And he destroyed those murders and burnt their cities. He said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot. Cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The picture on the right, as you see on the slide, I think pictures don't begin to comprehend what that place will look like. And I tried to pick something that's not too dramatizing to the children, but also to be aware there is a place like that. Hell is real. And it will be. You will not explain it away. There is a hell. There's also a heaven. There's also a heaven, which is the invitation that you have to get ready for. A few questions as you consider yourself with the invitation that the scripture talks to us about and that Christ has given to us. The marriage supper of the Lamb, the wedding. There's going to be a wedding. You'll hear me say that several times today as we think of preparation. As we think of preparation. And you notice, he said there was a man who was at the wedding feast, and he didn't have a wedding garment on. And as I think of that, again, this is a parable. And as you think of the world today, how many times do we see people who try to justify their way of living and perhaps are trying to enter into the gates without the wedding garment? And I would like you to think of that wedding garment as the robe of righteousness. The robe of righteousness that God, that Christ is telling us. That is our wedding garment. But I would ask the question, are you dressed in a wedding garment? Are you ready? Are you ready? Have you taken the invitation serious? Each of you will answer that question in your own time. I don't know that I can fully comprehend. Don't know that I can fully comprehend what hell, and I don't want to, what hell is going to be like. We know there's going to be chattering of teeth. My father once mentioned to us that, and I remember this clearly as a young child, he would say, when you're so cold that you can't keep your knees from bumping together, he would have said, that'll be the likeness of hell. Your teeth will chatter with no end. Your knees will, it's a place of torment. It's not fun to talk about it, but it's real. It's real. The invitation. There's going to be a wedding. There's going to be a wedding. And the rest of the message, I want to talk about that, the wedding supper of the Lamb through that invitation. Have you had that invitation? Have you heard it? I now want to read from Revelation 19. We'll be looking at verses 7 through 9. Let us rejoice and be exceedingly glad, and let us give the glory unto him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous act of the saints. And he said unto me, write. Blessed are they that are bidden to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He didn't stop there, and he said unto me, these are the true words of God. These are the true words of God. He said, write. Blessed are the bidden, they that are bidden, they that are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. John was commanded to write. The information that John was recording here was valuable. So he wrote, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. It was important that this declaration of the blessedness would be recorded. It was very important. So God inspired or told the angel, tell John to write. And it is also written because it's an absolute certainty. There is no question whether if this book, this invitation, whether if it's true or not. The angel told John to write because these words are truth. They are the true words of God. So John wrote them. This blessedness was not to be written down to be spoken of once and then forgotten. It's recorded in the book of life, we call it, that it shall be spoken of and that it shall be talked about time after time after time for generation after generation after generation. To read it over and over again. The ministers of the gospel are to preach it again and again, never ending. Never ending until the end of time. These are the true words of God. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. The text in all of Scripture, the words that we speak today, and we shall reflect them often, they are worthy to be read. They are worthy to be written and ingrained in the depths of your heart, so that when you're pricked, when you're challenged, that your inner being is so full of the righteousness of God, that's the first thing that comes out of you. So get a hold of that. Ingrain them on your heart. And if nothing else, remember the angel of the Lord said, these are the true words of God. Brothers, I didn't write this. John did. He wrote those words by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. These are the true words of God. That invitation, that's not my idea. It's not my idea. It's not even the church's idea. It is the idea from the Almighty of God. Come. Man can only speak those words with the power that I've been given to speak those. But God the Father is sending that invitation. He has sent the invitation. We are to follow it, the wedding supper of the Lamb. If you wrestle with the idea whether this invitation is real and is true for you, I hear you. I would understand. It would be normal for humanity in our weaknesses and in our tendency to perhaps try to turn away from God and rely on our own strength, that we would get ourselves in a position where we really doubt whether if the Father has actually spoken to you. But let me assure you, this declaration again is certified. It's a certified letter by the order of the Lord, under the direction and the seal and the Spirit of God, when he told John, these are the true words of God. There's no question. They are true. Be assured. Be assured in our weaknesses. There's a day coming when the Lord will return again to gather his people to make them forever blessed. Will you be happy? Will you be part of that number? I don't have the next scripture, this next scripture on the slide, but you can turn to Matthew 25. I want to read to you verses 34 and 35. As you think about the Lord's returning, and he will. Again, that'll be an appointment that you will make. You will not be late. You will not reschedule. You will not be like those who went to take care of his farm or whatever it may be. You will be on time. You will be on time. You will be at that. You will be at that appointment. Matthew 25, when you think of Jesus and when he returns, Matthew 25, verses 34 and 35. Then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. These are wonderful words that we will hear when Christ makes that second return. He will invite you. But make no mistake, there is a fake gospel that wants to rob you from your joy. And the devil is in the center of that gospel. He's right in the middle of it. If he can confuse you, he is successful. Make no mistake. The fake gospel that will tell you you have everything that it takes and makes you believe that everything is okay when it's not. When it's not. Brothers and sisters, those of you who know, you can discern. There's no confusion. Let it not confuse you. Turn back to the book. Turn back to the book. Go there. Go there. If you're still not sure, ask a brother. There's no need for confusion. That's what the devil wants to do, is confuse you. The false must fade away in our lives so that truth can shine through. The saints are living life, longing for the day when truth shall be fully recognized and Jesus, our Lord, will reign. But there is another side. Let's go on to Matthew 25. Let's begin in verse 41. Then he shall say unto them that are on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they say, also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto you? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Great promise. So there is another side. If you miss the invitation, if you miss the wedding, if you miss the wedding, even if there were no hell, even if there were no hell, if you miss the wedding with the bridegroom, with Jesus Christ as the Lamb, that would be hell in itself. Just to miss that wedding. That wedding feast. But there is a hell. There is payment for those who turn away from God the Father. Make no mistake. There is a hell. And that is punishment for those who turn away from God the Father. As I look at this group of believers here, y'all are pretty finely dressed. You're put up well. You look good. You look good. Is that going to get you into heaven? Is that going to get you a seat on the throne beside the Father? No. But it's okay that we're dressed this way. It's okay that we're dressed. I like to see a group of people who gather to worship the Lord dressed up. There's something about that. The sovereignty of the God of heaven, who has done so much for us, that we come in our best. In our best. not to satisfy our own brain to make you think I'm good, because no. Just put that aside for a second. When you stand before the Lord on Judgment Day, it doesn't matter if you've got rags or riches in the way of clothing. He's going to look at your heart. He's going to know. You will not fool him. He will know whether you are part of the wedding guest group or not. The blessedness was not to be spoken of once and forgotten. Again, I mentioned, you need to say it again and again and again. We long for that time when the powers of darkness are taken down and the pure, everlasting light will triumph over the land. We don't know when. We don't know when it will be, but it will come. And what may stand in the way, however, that day, the world will see when truth will conquer error and wrong. Truth will conquer. And when the true church of Jesus Christ will be revealed in all her purity, her beauty, as the bride of Jesus Christ. That's the invitation. That's the invitation that we all want. In the apostate church at that time will be put away forever and ever. Where will they be? In the everlasting fire. But for now, it seems time just rolls along. And some of our hearts get heavy and we get sad. But let me assure you, let us take courage. The morning is coming as well as the night does come. There are good days ahead, not just so far. There are good days ahead, not so far off. As I was preparing for this message, I had to think of a song that goes this way. Life's evening sun is sinking low. Just a few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. Where there will be no setting sun. Just a few weeks ago, I took that picture off of the coast in Florida. And as I stood there, and I watched the sun go down again, I've seen it several times, but it always tugs at my heartstrings when I see the sun go down. The songs we sing says, just over yonder, we'll all be going. Just over yonder. The sun is set. Let's go back one slide. The sun is set. You still see the sun rays there, but the sun is just over yonder. Just over the hilltop, we'll all be going. There's going to be a wedding. That day, we will partake in the supper of the Lamb, the day of his joy and glory. The day of Christ's joy and glory will be expressed with inexpressible joy. Our hearts can get sober and sad and burdened with issues today in life. We all have them. But for now, let's rejoice in the invitation that was given. Let's rejoice in the invitation. It's there for all of us. We still live in a fallen, broken world. When there are days when our hearts are saddened, and it's really hard to see sunshine from time to time, and then our heart will just long to be whisked over yonder to the marriage feast of the Lamb and be there with Jesus. The description of the bridegroom, I want to try to give a little bit of an explanation on that. The bridegroom is, which is Christ, and we know that. We've been taught that since we were little children. But there is no marriage without a bridegroom. Think about that. There is no marriage without a bridegroom. There is no marriage of the church without first the appearance of Jesus Christ in our lives. Therefore, he must be manifested.
He must be manifested in the church and in our lives. He must appear in his glory to the church. And as you and I, followers of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, he has to take place in our church. And we dare not take that for granted. We dare not take that for granted. The Lord Jesus, the bridegroom, the Lamb of God must be, brothers and sisters. Otherwise, if he's not, we're running on empty. We're running on our own strength and power, and there will be a day when we run out of that, and then what? We all just live here for a season. None of us is promised the next breath. Jesus Christ must be the Lamb of God. He must be the ruler of the church you're guiding. His title, the Lamb. The Lamb seems to be a special name for Jesus. John used it often in his writing. And John, the Revelator, may have heard it from John the Baptist when he wrote it in John 1, verse 29. He said, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, who does what? Who takes away the sins of the world. That's the invitation. The name Lamb seems very fitting and suitable for Jesus while he was on earth. We now look at him as who he was. He's in the garden, perhaps. He's despised and rejected of men. He's been led to the slaughter. He's speechless and patient in the hands of the cruel mob. The Lamb seems like a suitable name for him in Gethsemane and Golgotha. The Lamb. I don't know what it was like when Christ was in the garden. On your behalf, on my behalf, pleading with the Father, he said, "If it be not against your will, let this cup pass from me." But then he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." The book of Revelation, I think it records it about 28 times. He talks about the Lamb in the midst of the throne, the Lamb leading his people to fountains of living water. Revelation 19, we read it. The angel tells John to write about the supper of the Lamb. This wedding, it will be with Jesus. The guests will consider him as the ultimate sacrifice for their sins. The ultimate sacrifice for our sins. And he's the only sacrifice of our sin. The glory of a king. And this is Christ our Lord, but we as human beings can think of it this way in our kingship as well. The glory of the king, not in the crowns he wears, but what he does for his people. Dads, you're your own king in your own house. What are you doing for your family? Are you laying down your life? Christ's glory is most seen in his sacrifice and what he did for sinners. And those sinners, we don't look outside of this room. It's every one of us is sitting in here. We're sinners. Doesn't mean we live in sin continually. We're sinners. We all have a need for grace. We all had a need for the bloodshed of Calvary. There's no greater love than to know that he laid down his life for his friends. Christ did that. He gave us the invitation. The wedding supper of the Lamb, he's invited. I want to read to you a quote from Spurgeon who says it this way. When the Lord Jesus Christ, and you think of him on the cross. Oh, this picture gives me... It hurts. But think of it this way. Spurgeon writes, he says, when the Lord Jesus Christ put on the bloody shirt in Gethsemane, when he decorated himself with the five bright rubies of his wounds, when he was adorned with the crown of thorns and the last of all, when he was decorated with that robe of blood, and as the soldier pierced his side, then it was that he was more glorious than any time before. Especially to the eyes of those who have wisdom and understanding of what happened at Calvary. This is the star in his sky, the church, the invitation. You know, I doubt that he's seeing much star there. There's no words that explain the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. There's just no words that explain it. But it says, this is the star in his sky. And no, it is the sun that eclipsed all the stars that Jesus loved and pitied and had compassion even to the death of the cross for the sons of men. That's you and I. That's you and I. So on the day of his marriage, he comes again in the highest and noblest characters as a glorious lamb to the church. It is the lamb that celebrates the wedding supper in his bride, the church. That was written by Spurgeon. The church, which he is engaged to which he is to be married to on that last day, the great day, the second coming of Jesus Christ. The wedding supper. The wedding supper, it's a feast of love. There at the wedding supper, true love will be at home. True love will be at home. And Jesus will appear as a bleeding sacrifice for his love, the church. And we see that again when we think of the cross, when we read through the records or the recorded scripture that says all that happened there at the cross. Brothers, sisters, believers, are you glad for the invitation? Amen. Are you telling others about the invitation? Does the invitation lay on your heart? Let that settle in. Does the invitation lay on your heart? Does it look like maybe a low burning candle in the darkest of nights to some, offering a ray of hope to someone in the dark who don't know what tomorrow will hold? We can all rejoice with him on the day when Jesus, the Lamb of God, takes his church by the hand and he leads her home to her Father's house. The invitation, there he will be, robed in white, robed in garment, which appears most lovely into the church's sight. Who's the church? You and I have this wonderful privilege to take the invitation, to take the offer, to take the blood sacrifice, and hit our knees and thank God for it and repent. It's the only way. It's the only way. There will be no other way. At the wedding supper, he draws the love from the church. He's on his way to heaven. He draws his love from the church. We're still here. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He sees these pictures. Man's done a terrible job of explaining exactly what happened. But it lets our minds grasp again. And again, just to remind you, he's in heaven. He will return. There he will be, robed in that garment, which is most lovely to the church. At the wedding supper, he draws the love from the church. All those men and women and children he has redeemed, to whom he has laid down his life for. That's every one of us in here who have said, yes, Lord, I'm sorry. I accept. Will you cleanse me? Will you make me white as snow? The wedding supper of the Lamb, between the Lamb of God and Jesus Christ and the church, which is made up of you and I. Therefore, preachers, teachers, moms, dads, children of age, missionaries, wherever they may be, we shall preach the message of Jesus Christ and in him crucified. There shall be no other message come from our tongues, from our lips. And in the explanation of our life shall be no other way. And we shall teach, we shall preach, we shall live, and we shall speak like we know the man who had no sin. Like we know the man who ascended into heaven. We know of no other Savior but Jesus Christ, who bore our sins in his body on the cross, and who has provided forgiveness for our sins, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father on the throne. He's there. He sees you and I. He sees you and I. There is coming a day. There is coming a day when the wedding supper of the Lamb, I'm not sure that any picture can fully grasp or understand what that will be like. But there is coming a day who all who have died in Christ Jesus, we will be raised again from the tomb, and those who remain will be changed into an everlasting glory with the Father. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, he says, "This corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then the church of Jesus Christ will be complete." Then the church of Jesus Christ will be complete, and not one single member will be missing. It will be without spot or wrinkle. The church will be pure. Then it will come to pass that Jesus Christ will celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb with the church of Jesus Christ, with his church, which is made up of you and I. That's such a wonderful picture if you think about it. I don't know what heaven's going to look like. This picture, it gives you kind of a glimpse. I see angels. I see a king. I see a rainbow, which is a promise. I would say that this is a very poor explanation what it's actually going to be like. But let's not take away from the actual fact. There's going to be a wedding. Christ will celebrate his supper with you and I. He will do this by bringing his people, you and I, into the closest possible union with him. It will be no better than what it'll be the day we get to go with him to glory. There's going to be a wedding. I think of the song that says, "Oh, get ready. The evening shadows fall. Don't you hear the Eliezer's call?" Do you hear the call? There's going to be a wedding. There's going to be a wedding. The evening shadows fall. There's going to be a wedding. The invitation is here for each and every one of you. Will you? Do you hear it? I asked myself that question many times while I was prepping for this message. Our joy shall soon begin. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for your goodness.